This is Vern Casper. Party Line is put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
A little blast from the past.
You know why, don't you?
It's Charlie Brown.
Yeah, but this is famous from the Christmas.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown Christmas, and the other side of it is there's only 15 more days to stop.
Thanks, Mel.
Yeah, I know. I thought you'd like that.
Welcome to the WILO and Boone 1027 Party Line. It's presented by our friends at TC Trailers. If you are not pulling a TC trailer, you are not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marshand's Window Tinting in Antioch, they stick it where the sun shines. Vierk's Fine Jewelry in Lafayette. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals, save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. Freckles Graphics, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. Mel's working on the online telecast. It is recording, so we'll have it up in a little while, but she says right now the live isn't working, but she's working on it. But normally the online telecast is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Dan Ginda Funeral Home, Reinhardt Realtors, TC Trailers, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, CMIM Carpet Cleaning, Shoops Country Foods, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Freckles Graphics, Arborwood by Shoops, Welty Exteriors, and Newell Gas in Michigan Town. 765-659-3338 is the number to call in when it's time for questions. And we'll be taking questions really second half. We have some guests in with us the first half here. And if you do have questions, you can call in and talk to them as well. But we don't want to keep them waiting this morning. So we welcome from the Clinton County, Indiana Soil and Water Conservation District, Olivia. How you say your last name?
It's Petrella now.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot. You got married, didn't you?
I got married.
Yeah, this is wrong anyway.
You need to update the website.
And Michelle Gilbert. Olivia is the district administrator, and Michelle is the resource conservation specialist. Good morning. How's everybody?
Good morning.
Okay, you guys are going to have to be like this.
You're going to want to eat the mic.
It's uncomfortable, I know, but yeah, have to be right up there.
Pull it to you. You're not going to hurt yourself.
Michelle looks like she's all chilled back there. She's like, I came in to do the show this morning.
Yeah, then she found out it was live.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little more nerve-wracking.
She was a little nervous the last time.
Oh,
you did great. I don't know why you were nervous. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you did great.
Yeah, nothing can go wrong with live radio.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
No need to worry.
I will warn you, we don't have one of those buttons, but it is really live radio. So no delay. If you say something wrong, it's there forever.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure.
We have a lot of things to talk about today, but let's get to it with you guys. Let's get the important stuff out of the way first. Are you ready for the holidays?
No.
Olivia?
Yeah, I'm starting to get Christmas around a little bit, but you know, I'm kind of one of those, my generation, Amazon, last minute shopping.
Oh, yes.
Just got to get everything all in one order, it shipped.
I haven't placed an Amazon order yet, so I'm old school. I like to see it, feel it, touch it before I pay for it, you know?
Yep.
And then I'm bad at returning things, so if it's not right...
It's in your house forever.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. And then I've got to decide, do I try and put it in a yard sale? Do I take it to Goodwill because it wasn't the right thing? And so, anyway.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's talk about some of the things happening over at the Soil and Water Conservation District. What's going on this time of the year? As we're nearing the end of the year here, what kind of things are you guys up to now?
This is kind of our take a breather month a little bit. Right after harvest, this is when we really focus on the paperwork aspects of our job. We report to a lot of people for financials, grants, and things like that. So this is our one time of the year that we sit down and we get all that paperwork together for the state, item, everything like that. So this is kind of where we're not out in the field as much. We're kind of in the office getting paperwork together. This is kind of like our breathing time of year where We're not in the office, out of the office, in the office, out of the office. We're kind of in the office until the beginning of the year where we really are. It's very paperwork heavy right now.
I'm working on cover crops. If there's a... There's probably like four or five people that may be listening. They can go ahead and turn in their seed tags and invoices. But yes, we're doing a lot of our paperwork right now. Not as much with the education with the kids as we do in the summer. So there are still some fields that we're looking at. And again, just if you see a green field out there, it may be wheat, but it also may be cover crops. So, and that's us. Some of them are funded with local cost share or federal cost assistance, and then some also do them on their own.
What's the primary cover crop that you see everybody going after right now? What's the one that you see the most?
Cereal rye is extremely common. A lot of your livestock owners will also do kind of like a derivative of that at triticale, because that's better forage for our cattle and livestock owners. A new one that they're planting that you'll see in the spring before they spray herbicides and start planting. It's got a little yellow delicate flower, and it's a rapeseed. It's from the mustard family. It's kind of a little trendy, a little popular right now. They're mixing that with the cereal rye because it's always better to have more diverse plant groups and not just a monoculture, you know, not just one species. So the concept with cover crops is to protect the soil and to build up the soil health and nutrients and, you know, root channels and things to let water infiltration go down and to soak up rains like this. But it also helps kind of just, if we have corn, we just plant corn and soybeans, you know, mainly. And so if you do a cover crop that's just one straight plant species, it's better, but it's not as good. We can do better than that. So the push is really to get more than one plant species and a legume out there too. Any kind of things from the bean variety. There's vetch and some different things they'll plant. You may also see the radishes. A lot of people that garden and are just familiar, even if they don't garden, you'll see these like turnips. Turnips are a little bit trending, I guess, more because they're a little bit more cold hardy. They'll go about 10 more degrees colder than radishes will. So farmers are experimental. They're not afraid to plant new things. So every so many years, you'll notice that the varieties they plant will be a little different.
Yeah, I just saw, I've been watching these couple of fields of turnips that I was really amazed at how green they still were. And then, we got this last blast of Arctic air, and they have finally wilted. They wilted down, and the turnips popped up out of the ground. Now, I've never seen that before, and to see fields of it up in Carroll County, that was crazy.
Yeah, the shrink and swell will kind of push them up. They'll make it to about 20 degrees. And if we get a blanket of snow, sometimes we'll get a nice blanket. We did get some snow, but it was it kind of left in a day. Yeah, they'll actually grow underground even more because I believe it's like 18 degrees or something. They'll still shoot roots down.
Wow!
So even if you don't see top growth, there's things going on.
Under the soil.
And again, that's what we're promoting. It's yes, we want to see it on top, but it's all the things going on underground that help the soil health and help the farmers for their next crop.
Well, and talk about the benefits of having multiples versus the mono, and what those buildups are, what that helps with.
Well, and just any crops, like I said, you can relate this to farming and gardening. You have certain viruses, nematodes, good and bad bugs, like we call them, like soil critters, the things that we can't. There's things that you can see with the naked eye, and there's things that you can't, and you need a microscope. All those things are attracted to certain types of plants, like corn's a grass species. So, and your cereal rye and things are also grass. So that's another reason why we want to break it up, because you have a lot of beneficial insects. You want to bring those in and bugs. But if you plant the same thing over and over again, that makes the perfect environment. It's kind of like the perfect storm for viruses, bacteria, different, like I said, like bad nematodes to come in and kind of wreck your crop. Right. So
it's almost a breeding ground.
Yes, and it just attracts that. So when you break it up and you bring in different species, you could kind of say it's a little bit like camouflaging the field. And so those bad critters aren't nearly as attracted because there's more going on. And if you look at, and what we're trying to do, I think the more we learn is to mimic nature and not go against it. And in nature, you go out to a forested area, well, the variety, you know, there's tons of diversity in plant species. And there's not just usually one thing. And so the more we mimic it and put out two or three different species, that's breaking up those nutrients, like it's bringing in nutrients and it's breaking up the disease cycle. And of course, since the cash crop is what we are most concerned about, because that's what puts, you know, money in their pocket, that has to be a monoculture. So we feel like with the cover crops, we have this 4 to 6 month period to actually do something different. And that, because you're not going to plant beans and corn right next to each other in the same field. So this is their only opportunity to kind of put that diversity in the ground, and we're promoting it. And as the farmers get more comfortable with cover crops, because there is a lot of management that you have to plant them at a certain time, you've got certain varieties like the radish and the turnips, they are winter kill, so they don't have to be sprayed in the spring. They will die out on their own because they can't handle the 15 degrees. But the cereal rye has to be sprayed with a herbicide and other ones. So there's a lot of management to it, but we've also, as they get more comfortable, we kind of are like, okay, you did a really good job with this cover crop. Let's add something to it.
Let's go to the next level and see what we can do with these farmers. Sorry, I'm not close enough to the mic. To kind of see what we can do with these farmers, kind of taking them to the next level. If they are comfortable with the one cover crop, maybe we can get them a little bit of more of a mix and things like that, because we do understand at the end of the day, it is a costly practice, and that's why we offer cost share assistance, not only me and Michelle, but also USDA programs too as well, because we understand there is a cost to cover crops and also all the maintenance that is required with them. So that's kind of why we're there, to help, to also educate and also kind of help with the burden of how much money they have to put into them.
Now, is there a limit or a time limit or a schedule on those funds that are available to help out? And is there a limit of funds that you guys have?
Yes. So right now we are in the third phase of the South Fork Wildcat Creek 319 grant. And those historically run 3 years. So we have funding from IDEM for 3 years. And when that funding runs out, it usually runs out. And that's kind of the situation what we are sitting in right now, is that we used up our South Fork money and it expired in January of 2025. So right now we're just kind of doing final report things, trying to get seed tags and everything like that in. But we were actually fortunate enough with IDEM, we got an extension on the grant for a year. So now the South Fork, and we're going to call it phase four, but it's really on paperwork it's phase three, but to make it a little bit easier, we're calling it a phase four. And that money will run until January of 2026. So we did get lucky and we got a year extension on the grant just because we had so much interest in the South Fork that we just didn't have enough money to go around. So we reached out to IDEM to reapply for another three-year phase, and instead they gave us a year extension, which it sounds a little bit weird, like, oh, you guys are excited about 1 year of money compared to three, but that three-year money is very, very hard to get. There is a very big application. The competition is very tough because you are competing with almost every watershed in the state of Indiana, and there's only so much money to go around. So we were fortunate enough to just send in a small application for an extension, and we got additional money to hand out for 2025.
Again, our guest this morning from the Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District are Olivia and Michelle.
What are you looking at right now? I know you're finishing up, finalizing all your paperwork for 24. You're looking ahead to 25. And programs that are going to be coming up. Right now, because we had a little conversation when you guys were in the other day, what are you looking at as the biggest challenges right now as far as conservation efforts in our county and surrounding? Because I know you've been visiting other places too. So, I mean, what to you seems to be the hardest thing that we need to focus on?
Well, with the extension, I'm going to be working hard to advertise the new cost share money so we can get it spent. But we also talked about, we are looking at trying to highlight more urban practices. We would like to broaden our audience. We feel that our frequent flyers, we work in the USDA building with FSA, with the Farm Service Agency. Most of our farmers know who we are and what we do. They've had lots of opportunities to talk to us. They know our technical assistance is available for them and feel very comfortable asking us for cost share opportunities. However, we have the opportunity to help urban farming too, and more of a, I would say, like a city projects. USDA and NRCS, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, made some changes in their practice codes, and there are things like hoop houses that maybe you've seen people take out part of their yard and put that in, micro-irrigation. There's some different things that are kind of new and interesting, and they're happening a lot in our more populated, just, you know, Marion mm-hmm. County does a lot of things like that. And so in these smaller towns, it takes some time for us to get used, you know, to have the trickle-down effect and be able to see some of these things. So we would like to promote that for our local residents and to know that there's things out there. We're talking about doing, you know, we worked on some native flower beds on the 4-H mm-hmm. fairgrounds mm-hmm. and talking with maybe a partnership for a garden. So we're trying to do more of a, trying to do kind of a crossover. And I feel like the small gardening is a good way to get local interest. Your garden groups seem to be pretty, they're hard workers. You don't work on a garden sure. for 10 minutes a day, right?
So, well, and there's a lot of places that have got community gardens.
Yes.
And there's no reason why we can't.
And we can we're larger.
I mean, we have something similar with Healthy Communities in the garden that they put out. But that's pretty much the only one around. So, no. And I know this is a program that you guys have been working on here for the last couple of years, trying to get it up and get it going.
Yeah, there's a lot of, the research that just helps people. And plus, let's face it, there are people every night probably, you know, unfortunately, even in this community that go to bed hungry. And with the food prices and inflation and things, people, you know, are trying to make it on less all the time. And gardening is a lot of work. It can be expensive, but like we talked about, as much as the produce and everything goes up, it's more cost effective now than it ever was to grow tomatoes and your own produce. And so we just for the kids too. I mean, if they don't learn it, they don't know where the food comes from. And you know, three to five times a day, you're eating, right? And so your food comes from somewhere. It's not all in a wrapper. And even if it is in a wrapper, it started off not in a wrapper.
It's that old joke that brown milk comes from a brown cow, right?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's take a minute here and go back just a little bit. Olivia is the district administrator. Tell us a little bit about what your actual role and responsibilities are.
Yes, so I kind of do most of the paperwork aspect in our office. So I handle most of our financials that run through the office. A lot of times people think of soil and water. Last thing you think of is making sure that the check from Walmart was paid for and things like that. So there's a lot of paperwork to our jobs that people don't see that we do. Do a lot of the paperwork. Another thing I do is, this is kind of me and Michelle, even though we have different titles in our position, our jobs cross many times in the office, and that is also very helpful as well, because Michelle came to us with many years of experience, so it's very, very helpful to have her in the office to kind of not only cross-train me, but also to have another person in the office that where we can split jobs up. So we kind of share the task of the cost share programs a little bit. There's a lot that goes into that, not only doing the field work side, but the paperwork side, talking with item reports, things like that. And promotion is a huge one that we're really trying to ramp up at the moment. It's just finding different ways, like going on the radio to promote our programs, to kind of get a different audience into our office. As Michelle was talking about, we're really trying to kick up the urban side of what we do. And the last one is education. That is something that we have been slowly trying to reintroduce in the office, because after COVID, it did become a little bit difficult to not only get into the schools, but also kind of get these programs where they were in 2019. A lot of things have changed since then, and we've kind of been lucky enough to get back into the schools, and also we do a lot of work with Camp Column in the summer. There's a lot of good programs that happen out there that we go out and teach a couple classes about water quality, teaching kids that the water that runs through their community is very important, and making sure that they know that clean water is good water, and kind of teaching them how what they throw in the water and what they witness other people throw in the water does affect them. And just also showing them that you don't have to be a farmer to be conservation minded. That's a good big kind of thing that we're trying to preach right now, is that you don't have to own over 100 acres and be a farmer to know conservation. So it can be from you have an apartment with a terrace and you have maybe a couple plants, or you're a farmer that has 1,000 acres. You guys can both be conservation minded. So that's a little bit of what kind of I do in the office. It's just a little bit of here and there and everywhere. Just if one of us needs help, we kind of step up and we'll help each other out.
Before we get to Michelle, you mentioned that you work a lot with Camp Column, and I like that. So
yes.
I'm wondering, do you partner with folks like Ducks Unlimited? Like, we had them on not long ago. And so it sounds like you guys kind of have a little bit of the same somewhat goals. I mean, yes and no. Do you work with other organizations like that as well?
Yes. We do have quite a bit of like what we call the partnerships throughout Soil and Waters, and that's throughout the entire state. We work very closely with, of course, we share a building with FSA and NRCS, and we work very closely with Pheasants Forever as well. DNR, there's a list of people that Purdue Extension is another big one that we partner with. Farm Bureau, there's a lot of them. And we usually all try to collectively come together for events. That is kind of the big time out of the year that we are there to assist each other, is with events. And we also do that with other Soil and Waters as well. We are very close partnerships with Carroll County. We work with Howard County, Boone County, Tippecanoe County. So we not only have partnerships that are not Soil and Waters, but we also have our surrounding Soil and Waters we work very close.
Sure, which makes sense, because you know, at the edges of our county, we're going to run into somebody
that
probably has farm ground kind of right there, if not in both, certainly edging both for sure.
Yes, and that's a big thing that we share with Carroll County. Right now we have a joint CWI grant with Carroll County, so we split that money down the middle 50-50. So they received $18,000, we received $18,000 for conservation, and that kind of meshes those two counties together, as long with paperwork. You have to keep each other updated on spending and things like that. So those are kind of, it's another form of a partnership there, where you're kind of keeping each other in check also over grants and things like that. And it also is a good sign for the state as well. They love seeing partnerships with Soil and Waters. That's why we partnered with Carroll County on the CWI. It's a little bit easier to get that money into the county if you can show that you have a partnership with a surrounding county. It shows good relations, and also it shows that cost share is needed between two counties.
Sure. I was going to say, if I'm somebody giving out a grant and I see that you're working with somebody else and you're diligently trying to work together, I'm more inclined to give that money to folks that are working in that direction. So again, our guests are from the Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District. Michelle?
Oh, and I'll just add to that. Watersheds don't, they don't adhere by county boundaries or states. So we work a lot with these, with like Boone County. We had, historically, we had a Brown's Wonder watershed grant with them. So, and there's Carroll has another one with Deer Creek. And so these watersheds that we protect, they usually are multiple counties. And so that, again, that enhances the fact that we all need to work together. I'm sure you've heard it, you know, we all live downstream. So these are community projects, and communities don't always end at the county border. So we work with that ourselves a lot.
So I asked Olivia, and you are the resource conservation specialist. Tell us exactly kind of what you do on the day to day.
Well, my position is mainly for technical assistance with the farmers. So I work directly with them when they call in for cost share, or a lot of times they'll call in. We've been trained to say, like, you know, what is your resource concern? What are you concerned about on your farm, on your land? And then do we have programs that will fit with your need, basically? Certain programs, some of our cost share, like with our Southport grant, we are unable to cost share certain practices. NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation Service, they have a larger list. So if they don't work in my program, we work very closely with Tim Graff, who's our district conservationist. We're going to find the right fit for somebody. We'll look at, you know, again, you know, what interests do you have? What needs do you have in your farm? And what can we do for you? I also, even if you don't want any of our cost share, which it happens, just technical assistance, we're there for that. We have people that we can basically do the site visit, and then we can hand it over to engineers. And there can be some engineering designs that you can get basically for free. You're going to wait on them a little bit because, you know, it takes some paperwork. But we have those opportunities. I also do a lot of promotion, you know, with Olivia, education. My main focus is technical assistance and getting out this cost share. I, you know, to work on the grants and the basically be support staff a little bit for NRCS with their conservation reserve program. We always called that was like the bread and butter of FSA, and that is the buffers along ditches, those grass waterways that you see like a grass long strip in the middle of the field, reducing erosion. You can have infield practices like the conservation, you have edge of the field practices. So we all work together. It's a very small office. So it's a very team atmosphere because everything overlaps.
We are at the top of the hour. Can you stick around for a little bit? We have some more questions. Are you in a hurry?
No.
All right. Mel, how about this? How about you guys stick around?
I was going to ask too.
Okay. So. How about you guys stick around a little bit because we have some more questions if you're okay with that. You're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone 1027. We'll be back.
Your home for classic hits, 1570 AM, 96.9 FM, and now at 102.7 FM.